Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is part of the ACAST Creator Network.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Tommy, Hector and Larita podcast, coming to you from an international stable of abodes to
where
wherever
are you,
you are.
Where are you?
I'm in a rented apartment on the fourth floor.
Are you being trafficked as a sex slave?
That's exactly what he's at.
That would be a fantastic show for T.G. Carr. Trafficked.
Hector becomes a sex. No, I'm a trafficked sex.
From Budapest alone.
Traffic in Irish? Traffic in Irish?
Trocht. Trocht. Gnais Trocht all. What about from Ballybuffet to Bucharest? A story of an Irishman sex traded through the Balkans. I'm on the fourth floor of a rental apartment. Roscoe and Evan have that. We all have our own apartments, right? So I feel like I'm back in a flat in Drumcondra. Look at me, kids.
Oh, yuck.
I walked in today and I felt as if I was a fucking student. I said, Evan, what's this? And he goes, oh, they're nice. They're nice. They're serviced apartments. I said, this is a fucking bedsit. It's a bedsit.
The art is lovely behind you as well.
There's a smell of diffuser, and it's a smell of cheap fucking diffuser somewhere plugged in. I can't get rid of it.
Someone was probably killed there yesterday.
Yeah, the password for the Wi-Fi is called accommodation, and they spell it ACCOMMADDATIO. I couldn't put in the Wi-Fi code for about an hour. I was doubting myself that I could spell accommodation. And I was like, accommodation. And then accommodation. I'm going, no fucking podcast because I can't get the Wi-Fi. And then I was, Roscoe. He said, what? Wi-Fi. He says, yeah, put in accommodation.
Don't spell it the normal way.
Spell it ACCOMMADDOTIN. Accommodation. It's Romanian. It's Romanian for accommodation, but I'm going to be in a service. Look, we left Serbia this afternoon at about 1 o'clock in a double prop. It reminded me of my days on Air Arran flying up and down to Dublin.
Oh, yeah. Remember those planes? Yeah, I remember those for sure, yeah.
It was a twin prop plane and we took off. And as I went up, it was 17 degrees in Belgrade today. It was a beautiful autumn mild day and the sun was shining. And we went right over the city, over the old part and the Danube. And we flew along the Danube for, I'd say, 50, 60 kilometres. It was incredible looking out the window.
Wow.
And we've landed in this amazingly big country. A historical place, a place I know nothing about.
Ceaușescu.
And a place...
Hagi. Does Hagi play for Romania?
Yes, Georgi Hagi, Popescu and Petrescu. And the penalty shootout in 1990 against Ireland.
That's it. Didn't George Hamilton save that?
Jimmy McGee, a different class, Jimmy McGee! David O'Leary, a nation holds its breath. I think it was Tomotoft or Toftef or something. The Romanian sub-goalkeeper came up to take the penalty. Paddy Bonner saved it and then David O'Leary stepped up.
And then he was taken to a handball alley in Bucharest and shot.
So that's where I am and we've got a great week lined up.
So what are your plans for what you go doing in Romania?
Well, the biggest government building outside the Pentagon is here. It's the world's heaviest building. It's like 700
acres.
The
world's heaviest building.
Hector, what is it? Do people come and lift it up?
Give away buildings.
Do the Russian weightlifters come over and try and lift
it? It's the world's heaviest building. Don't ask me why, but I'm going into it to have a look at it. It's the only other building that's bigger for government is the Pentagon. I'm going off with three witches. The mother is a black witch, and she's the most famous witch in Romania. And her two daughters are witches as well. So we're going over to her house, and I want her to practice.
What, to lift the building, is it?
No, well, maybe she put a spell on it. But we're going off with these witches. We're going up to Transylvania. I'm going to meet the king of the Romani gypsies.
Oh, lovely. Wow.
And that'll be interesting up in the mountains. We are going to meet a couple of Steaua Bucharest players. It's a great city. It is, when you get here, I didn't know what to expect, but I have just been blown away by the French architecture and the beautiful boulevards and the classical French. It's, they call it the Paris of the East, and it really is. Roscoe was loving it out the window. He just can't wait to film it. It's a beautiful city, beautifully architectural and very French. They've got their own Arc de Triomphe, seemingly in the start of the 1900s. They were very, very much influenced by Paris and what was going on there, and they styled a lot of their city on it. So,
is it a poor country, I wonder?
I think it's poor. I look at the average wage in Serbia was 300 to 400 euro a month, which is quite. And you know, I was speaking to a person.
And in Ireland, it's what, about
60,000.
60,000 a month?
I'd say about 1,400.
They can't all be making podcasts.
1,600.
No, per year, like 300 to 400 a month in Serbia. A teacher, a policeman, 500 a month. A lot of people in Serbia do nixers. They always have something.
Be about $2,000 a month, would it, in Ireland?
You wouldn't survive $2,000 a month in Dublin.
No, it must be more.
The I found out in Serbia as well, in Belgrade, if you're a waiter or you're working in a restaurant and everything, it's €1 to €1.50 an hour.
Good God.
Yeah. So it is.
Timmy, I wonder, when you go to the witches now, will you ask them for any help? Like, I got preyed on by a white witch one time.
She tried preyed to, on?
Preyed on, P-R-A-Y-E-D.
Oh, go on.
And she wanted me to cop on. So she did this kind of spell thing for me. But I wonder what those women...
Did she come to you, or did you go to her?
A long time ago in another country. I can't go into the details.
Did you seek her out?
No.
She wasn't the woman. Remember, there used to be a woman outside the Ulster Bank there. I think an old clad lady. She was a traveller.
Oh, Madame Bridget.
Yes, Madame Bridget outside the Ulster Bank there in Ayr Square.
And she spelled her name M-A-D-M.
She was always outside the Imperial.
And she had a pair of kind of girls' First Holy Communion shoes with heels in them and black tights. And she'd read your palm, Madame Bridget.
She was there for years. Did you ever see her, Larita?
Yeah.
Outside the Imperial, just there at the Ulster Bank. No, look, I've been with shaman in other parts of South America. This is a very famous, powerful witch.
Yeah,
and her daughters are witches. What can I ask her to do? What'll I ask her to do to me? What'll I ask? What'll I say to her?
Ask her to zap you back to Galway and see if she can do that.
I know. Just I suppose she might check your auras, and she might.
Yes.
She might be able to. No more than Sean Boylan can give you a kind of a herbal remedy for something. She might give you a potion that will help make you hopeful or optimistic.
I thought you were going to say horny. I thought you were going to ask her for a Chinese horn. Medicine.
Just something to give you maybe more. A protection thing or something, or she might try and rid you of bad karma, or you wouldn't know.
What about if she tells you the future? Have you ever gone to any of those, that fortune teller?
The tea leaf lady. I went to a tea leaf lady for a waste of time.
Where? In Ballina?
In Galway, when I lived there. Out in Knocknacara.
And how did the ritual...
Load of shite.
And did you pay for it?
Yeah, I think you have to line her palms, don't you?
Silver.
Bit of cash or something.
But speaking of witches and stuff like that, I had an extraterrestrial paranormal ritual to go to yesterday. So my uncle was making his confirmation.
All right.
Wow. And as you know, he's taken the name Moses.
Oh, yes.
So he took Moses yesterday as his confirmation name. But I was, I don't know if you'd remember this, Larita. Sean O'Riordan, the great composer from down in County Kerry, he did this thing called Ceol an Tafran in the 1970s, which was, he basically put the Irish Mass to music. So we had to learn, when we were in primary school in the 70s, we all had to learn
prayers to the music that he'd written. And I hadn't right. heard this stuff in so long. So Hector will know this. I don't know if this... Do you remember this one, Hector?
I do.
This was sung yesterday in Barna now. And Barna was bilingual, so there'd be a little bit of Irish in it. I was asked to do a reading as well, which I might read back for you later. But this is the one that just... I got so many kind of sense memories when the whole congregation started singing this. And Will Shebrae.
Tho.
It's nefa, 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 who I hear na gina slew. Tanya vagus talav lon de the glor. Hosanna sna horda. It's banaha on teata heg chocked. In Annan
Montier. Hosanna sna horda.
Isn't that wonderful? Just...
We've all had that.
Isn't that a magnificent one?
They asked me, so we did the whole thing, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. And therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, and all the angels and saints, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. When there was a great holy vibe going in the church, we were rocking. But then they asked
That's me, one of the ones they changed in recent
yeah,
times.
Yeah, I could never get the new wordings on it. I love the old wordings.
But they asked me to read, do the first reading.
Why?
Well, there's no answer to that, Larita.
Tommy, what pew did you sit in? Were you close?
What do you mean, what's the quote? So they said, will you do a reading? And I said, I'd love to do a reading. So they asked me to read from the first, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
And was there a little gasp? Did you do your nav and walk up to the altar?
Did the nav and walk up with the straight back and the bendy legs.
And people elbowing each other going, is that Tommy?
And a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Pentecost came round, Paul saw my own room, and suddenly they heard the power of the sound come from heaven. The noise would fill the entire house. People sitting there, tongues of fire come down.
Class.
Separated and came to rest in each of them. And they filled the Holy Spirit. And the man speak foreign language, spirit game. Now there are men living in Jerusalem. And every player had part. Each one bewildered. This is the word of the Lord.
Ah, that was great. I got about three words out of that.
Yeah, Les, please stand now for the community.
Yeah. So that was my day yesterday.
Well done.
It was wonderful to hear the old stuff and sung in Irish.
Was it all the hymns of Scoilge?
No, it was half Oscailge and half Osberla.
Oh man, that brings back so many memories.
It was only, a confirmation, you choose a name. Like back in the olden days, you'd be buried up, you'd be given ayahuasca, you'd be put into a tomb and you'd have nightmares for 4 days. And if you came out of it psychologically intact, you were fit to be a man and fit to fight for the tribe. Nowadays, you get dressed up like a little businessman and you go and you get a few quid off people and you promise not to drink till you're 16. But it was fine. It was good for the young fella. You know, it was good. It was and it was great to see them all kind of starting their teenage spurts.
Tell me about the fashion on display. Like, was there suits, three-piece suits, lads with white runners and jeans?
It was mainly jeans and shirts. The girls looked very pretty. The girls were in, you know, because girls always make a kind of an effort. But I had to pick up my daughter from a teenage disco in Ballinasloe. Rumours nightclub in Ballinasloe was having a teenage disco during the week. And they told us that they'll breathalyse the kids going into the nightclub and they'll breathalyse them coming out. So you need not fear if you're a 14-year-old to be go drinking. So I was picking her up from that. A young girl's dressed up like...
In hot pants and fake tan.
Yeah, but innocent. It's kind of...
I've seen her at the Clare Galway disco.
It's not many clothes, but it's done in all innocence. But the young fellas, I swear to fuck... T-shirts and jeans, that's it. There's no fucking effort gone in there at all. Women are looking at the same thing that they were looking at 40 fucking 50 years ago. Yeah. Fellas with gel in their hair, jeans, white runners and a shirt.
Bit of links.
And links aftershave. Links knock you out.
But isn't that beautiful that it's so simple? It's a simple... It's
and a load
simple
of hair gel. They've a load of hair gel, the lads. And a load of Izzy. They go heavy on the hair
gel. A load of Izzy Miyake.
But it was beautiful innocence. It was beautiful to see them David coming out at 11:30, 11:45 on Dunlow Street in Ballinasloe, and just the kind of the happy teenage fucking heads in them, and then all getting into their father's cars and their mother's cars, two or three of them in the back row, and then just spend the whole fucking drive home showing each other photographs and videos and texts.
And nobody shifting or anything. No shifting outside.
Well, like that you could see. But the guards were kind of driving up and down as well. You couldn't be going munging.
Oh, yeah. Tommy, she went a fair distance. Your daughter travelled a fair distance to go to a junior
from Galway to Ballinasloe, but there was nothing happening in Galway. There used to be, every now and again, there might be a bus to Gort or a bus to Clare Galway, but those things weren't happening. So the only one was the bus to Ballinasloe. So
we used to go to Kilchamaw, which was a long spin as well from Knockmore. You'd be going, there was only one teenage disco and it was in Kilchamaw. Yeah. And then there was another one in Leitrim somewhere. So you'd either
was that Kelly's and Mohill?
Yeah, Mohill, yeah. There was Kelly's. One there, yeah. It's fucking long, there's long spin like.
When we were teenagers.
The crack was on the bus.
When we were teenagers, Louisa, the Glastonbury of nightclubs was the Oasis in Carrickmacross.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
was that a long spin for you?
You could go there aged 17 and come back owning a farm in Monaghan.
Lads went up there 14, they came back 19 and a half.
Road frontage
everywhere. Pints
of
harp.
So you know, it was wonderful to see. How was your weekend, Larissa? What have you been up to? Oh, we have to talk about it. Of course, did you put your county champions?
Oh yes.
Yeah, back to back county champions. The last time we did that was 96-97, and interestingly, it was the year we went to the All Ireland Club Final, but we lost.
Ooh.
So it was a great weekend. We drank for about 3 days, and thankfully none of us got COVID, and
tell me about this now.
Ready for it again? Yeah.
And so was there bonfires lighting? Was there a big when the cup came back in?
No, we're not. We're not.
Did you sacrifice any Protestants on the road home or something?
Was there any sacrificial lambs?
We burnt a few Protestants. No,
you
we
burned
didn't.
Supermax we, bags out the window of the car.
We don't do things like that in Knockmore. We don't do bonfires or by all means. Oh,
you put up bunting. Bunting,
a bit of bunting in the pub in itself, yeah. And some fella decorated his camper van, and you know, sort of.
Oh, so you're flat out with the style, like.
We're into Connacht now, so we have to play Tour de Strand next, and we're sure we don't know what they'll be like. But
the Sligo,
like the Sligo champions. Yeah. Yeah.
Two in a row is a magnificent achievement, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
It's amazing. It's kind of like and it's the next step after the
don't be
after
smart.
Two in a row is amazing. It is the next step after winning
it
once.
There's only one club in Mayo that have won it 3 times in a row, and that's Gary Moore back in the 70s. So you know, so they were all
there, of course,
for you lads.
As we've there, and Gary Moore is the big field.
Yes,
yes, and we're at the big hill.
The big hill, of course, the big field. Yep, and is there. Would there be a parish now called the Big Dip or the Big Lake or the Big Road or anything like that, or the Big Women?
Probably, yeah.
The Big Town on Ballymore.
No, we're just all excited now for the next match. And I had a bit of a social dilemma there because I was due to go to Dublin with the girls this weekend.
Yes.
With Audrey and Samantha. And then the match was due to be on Saturday. So
could it be the massive
there?
Clash?
Yes, what would you do there? See, I was in an awful...
Clash of the Gash.
So I just got onto the Connacht Council and I told them to change it, and it's on Sunday now, so that's great.
The Clash of the Gash. The brand new book by Marty Morrissey, The Clash of the Gash.
Tell us, what did you do? What did you do in Bucharest today?
I'll tell you what we did this morning. I went to what did we do today? I went to meet a historian guy called Christy, who told me
his name Christy.
Christy, who gave me a magnificent overview of Bucharest and its history, and we spoke in depth about the dictator Ceausescu and the reign of him and his wife for over 40 years.
That's right.
And how they drove this country into turmoil and dark depression and stole all the money, and the place was living by candlelight, and they were executed in a small little camp about...
There's footage, people can see footage of them, and they just look like a little old couple. Towards the end, and you wouldn't associate them with all the power that they had when you see them shuffling. You could see them walking down the main street in Roscommon. Do you know what I mean? Just like now,
they look like they're down. Yeah, looks like they're a farmer and a wife going in Castlereagh on a fair day on Saturday. Yeah. They tried to escape from the Parliament buildings by helicopter. Then the army and about the millions came out in protest. They found them. They brought them to a camp. They tried them by kangaroo court. They set up a court with a few plastic chairs. They made the decision. At 12 o'clock the next day, they executed Mrs. Ceausescu by rifle. And you can
by
go
rifle.
Now. It's a tour. By rifle, and you can go now and you can see the place. It's opened up to tourists, where they shot 5 or 6 bullets into each of them and hit the back of the wall.
It's open to tourists?
Yes.
You can go and visit the place?
Yes, yes.
Weird. Yeah. About 10 years.
And are you half tempted? Are you half tempted to go to it?
I think I will. Because Ceausescu, I mean, Ceausescu, for Christ's sake, mention them words. Say it, Tommy.
Ceausescu. He's a bastard.
Lolita, say Ceausescu. Ceausescu and his wife Elena. She was illiterate and she was given a doctorate of medicine. She had ghostwriters writing books for her for all over the world. They screwed this country to the ground. They believed that they were omnipotent and they drove this country into hyperinflation and the darks of depression and eventually power to the people. They overthrew it.
Wow.
And it's so that's, we met a guy there today. And then this morning I went to play Ainu, which is the national sport of Romania, which is like baseball, but it's different. They have a couple of 100 meters court, about 65 meters wide. It's played in the rural areas and in the city area. There's only one team from Bucharest. They're all ex-policemen. It's like baseball, but with a slimmer bat. And you have to be very, very good. It's about 11 on each team. And it's all a game of cat and mouse and throwing this ball really hard to try and hit the person.
Oh, it's like, so it's called, is it dodgeball, is it?
It's like dodgeball mixed with rounders, mixed with baseball. And
did you have a go?
Very,
did
very
you have a go?
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah, brilliant crack. And it's on the curriculum. It's like hurling.
Do you find it hard to be enthusiastic every day for this stuff? Or are you just like, oh, fuck, well, we have to get on the bus again today. Where are we going?
But sure, I could be down in Super Value looking for Donegal.
Yeah, no, I know. But like, you know, you're meeting so many people. Are you like... Is it, does it drain you?
Today was rain. No, today was raining. The hard part of filming on the road at the moment is like, you know, I'd love to be in Bali and I'd love to be in Addis Ababa where it's 33 degrees. Yeah, it's bad weather. It's cold. And, you know, the driver who's driving us now doesn't speak a word of English. He had a triple bypass and he didn't want to eat his lunch. His name is Chris. The driver is called Giorgio, and we went and had a hamburger for lunch. And then we noticed he wasn't eating. Then he told us he had a gastric bypass about 6 weeks ago. So he had about one sweet potato fry, and then he had a triple bypass. But he's a great driver. He's a great driver. He hasn't a word of English. He cannot even say welcome. He cannot even say thank you.
So how do you communicate to him as where, like, he knows where he has to take it, but you can't communicate
fixer,
to him on the
fixer,
drive?
The fixer sits in the front of the car and translates everything.
It's like a taxi in Dublin. You just tell them where you're going.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going off to meet the witches, and tomorrow I'm going to a communist. I'm going to an old government communist building to be met by people who know an awful lot about communists. And can I say one thing about communism? Because I swear to God, in history class, when Mrs. Farrell back in St. Pat's was teaching us, I don't know how big, were you into history, Loretta?
No, I dropped it after first year. Or third year, whenever you have...
Tommy, history?
Oh, yeah, love history,
History, yeah, well, I'll tell you, history is coming alive in my brain in the last couple of years because I'm getting back into Africa and I'm getting into these places. You know, the history of these countries and the history of these places, it's buzzing in my head. Communism, when you say the word communism, I'll give you one nugget about communism that I've learned in the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
Communism, we think of communism as that strong cement, big buildings, the red flags, and it's all for the people and
no
the glory of the
and
people.
Everybody in factories.
No crack. Everyone in factories working together for the common good.
Yeah.
And it's all, we will...
Small, stealth women.
Yes, and queuing for bread at the bakery, and it's black and white and grey and everything like that.
And gymnastics and
old
sprinters.
Gymnastics.
Nadia Comaneci. Do you remember the little one? Oh, and yeah. Olga Corbett. That's and she flying around on the hoops, winning the 10 out of 10 at the Olympics.
She's from Galway.
Synchronised.
She was from Galway.
She lives there now.
Olga Corbett.
Yeah, Corbett's Court.
Olga Corbett, Nadia.
We have a gym
Comaneci.
In Ballinac called Nadia Gym. The gymnast, that's where they all go.
Have you?
Go ahead anyway. What do you think about communists?
But communism under Tito. And somebody told me that when I was in Belgrade last week. Tito, who reigned in Yugoslavia for years and years and years. Under his reign, every single person had a job. Every single person worked for the state. Mm. Every single person had an income and every single person had a place to live under socialism and communism. What do you think of that compared to a society where now where we have loads of people who can go to McCambridge's, loads of people who can buy loads of really expensive whiskey and those who can't? So it's fucking mad, isn't it, when you think of it?
Isn't that a mad statement? Who made communism bad? Like who said it was a bad thing?
No, but they've all fallen.
No, but like,
most of those
why does everybody think that if you're a communist or you feel that way inclined, that you're bad? Like, who?
Or socialism. What's the difference, Tommy, between socialism and communism?
I don't know, but all I would say is that capitalism tolerates poverty. In order for capitalism to work, there has to be poor people. And that I think, is a flaw in the system, because they think that if you have the freedom to fail, then you have the freedom to succeed. If you can't fail, then you can't succeed. That's the way they
created capitalism?
Bob Banks and all these people. But tell me this now. When you're wandering around Romania, Hector, do you get the vibe it's Catholic?
No, it is beautifully Orthodox again.
Oh.
And this country, Romania, is based on classical languages. They have a fondness. A lot of Romanian people can speak Spanish. They have a little bit of Italian. They love the French. This city is blowing up in front of my eyes as a city that I never expected to see or feel this, because we might have thought Romania. Having said that, the guy I was talking to this morning said, don't be fooled by Bucharest. Bucharest is an amazing place with so much culture, so much life. But the poverty, and as if you go back in time, it could be going back 50 and 100 years now when we go to the countryside. But he said, we have serious poverty in rural Romania. And so I'm on a journey. I'll be on a journey for 5 or 6 days. I hopefully go to Transylvania, and then I'm going to meet the king of the Romani gypsies.
That'll be fascinating. That'll be fascinating.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to see their culture.
And tell me about the beautiful Romanian women. How would you, are they kind of sallow skinned and dark hair?
Brown eyes, sallow skin. I don't see much of them now because there's masks and it's winter time. But you could see it coming through Bulgaria, coming through Serbia. It's just it's Anna Kournikova territory. It's like it's like they're spectacular. It's like very well dressed. Fashion is a big thing over here. They always, as somebody said to me, Hector, we mightn't earn a lot of money over here. The average salary might be 400 quid, but we like, and the Serbian women and the Bulgarian women and people in general, especially women in the Balkans, like to put the best side out. And I think that's a great comment.
A friend of mine lives in Moscow, and I was asking him about the Russian women. He says he loves them because he says they're very sentimental. I wonder, is that the same in Eastern Europe, where the women are just magnificently emotional? Do you know what I mean? Do you love me? Do you? If you don't love me, I throw myself off building. Do you love me? That's and you know, that kind of cry. Tell me, is your euro going far?
I have a beer. Hang on, I'll get you. I have a beer I'm going to show you. I bought a load of beers tonight because I'm living on my own in a bedsit. Hang on there. Hang on, I get them. Aha, yes. So here's my local beer. Can you see that? Ooh. Chuck. Look at that. It's the local Romanian
What's
beer.
The percent?
It's called Chuck.
What's
CIUC premium.
How strong is it?
7%. So standing, a lovely thing happened in the supermarket today, this evening. Because we're living in these serviced apartments, we had to go to the supermarket again to get water and stuff like that. So there I was, going around the supermarket. I was buying a bit of cheese. And what else am I going to do in the self-service department? I bought nuts. I bought cashew nuts and I bought a few grapes. I bought yogurt. I bought tea bags. I bought milk. And then I said, I'm going to get a couple of cans.
As you're going around the shop, is anything in English?
Nothing. Everything is completely and utterly different, Tommy.
Romanian.
Everything.
And
they don't speak English.
And do they take the euro?
No, I had to go to a money lender then up a little alley.
So
what's, I changed money.
What's the currency?
The currency is called Dom. I think it's called Doms. And I got for 100 euro, I got 493 Doms. I'd have them here. Look, I'll open it up here. I'm going to money like they know tomorrow. Look, they're called Doms. Yeah.
But it's
Cinquenci. The Bank of Romania. There's a lovely bald eagle on it and a lovely feel to it. There's a
how,
lovely
how much
feel.
Are the beers
lovely.
Like?
The beers, everything
would
was
it be
cheap.
Like $1 or €1 for
about €1.50. Romania has joined the European Union, but as I was in the supermarket and I was looking for a Romanian beer, this man looked as he'd come from work. He was well wrapped up. He had a baseball hat on, and he said to me, and we had a mask on. He goes, "Are you okay?" He knew I had an Ockham Hotspur THL podcast on. I think he spotted that I was from the west of Ireland or from living in Galway. He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes. I don't want to buy Carlsberg. Where is the local beer?" And he goes, "Oh, over here." And he goes, I said, "What do the locals drink?" And he goes, you have to drink this. It's called Chuck, C-I-U-C. I took six cans of Chuck.
Did you taste it yet?
And he was really nice. Oh, this is my fourth can here.
And what does it taste like? Carlsberg or
stronger?
What's that stuff you used to drink? Budvar. Is it like that?
Oh, it's light. It's strong. It's not like a Coors Light now, I can tell you. There's a little Eastern European hint of strong lager off that. But he was a lovely guy. I met him at the till then later, and he goes, where are you from? I said, Ireland. He goes, I thought that. First time in Romania? I said, yes. He said, enjoy, have a great time. And he was really nice. But then the nicest thing happened. I put my yogurts and my cheese and my pastrami and my cashew nuts and my grapes
Can I ask you, why are you buying all this stuff?
Because I'm living in a self-service department on my own, Tommy.
Do you meet the lads of an evening and go out to a restaurant?
Yeah, we do, but we're living in a sort of residential neighbourhood when the restaurant's about a taxi drive away, and I'm bored doing that.
You're bored going to restaurants? Because, so you want to sit in your own in your underpants, drinking chuck and sucking grapes?
No, but Tommy, we were in a restaurant every night of the week in Belgrade. I'm bored with all that.
Okay, sorry.
And I'm doing a podcast with you guys, so I had to get ready for this. So I don't want to take a taxi to get to a restaurant, to take a taxi to get back to do a podcast.
Okay.
But listen, we were standing and there was a small little Romanian supermarket. There was an old man, he must have been 65 years plus inside the window and the screen. And he goes, would you like a bag? And I said, yes. And he goes, no problem. And he puts up the bag and he takes everything I have and packs it for me inside. And he's like, no problem, buddy. Everything good. And he goes, that would give 493. And he goes, enjoy your stay here. And he packed the bag better than the packer I have ever seen anywhere. And he was so kind and so nice with his broken English. And it was just very, very simple.
In Ireland, we have, it's always, you know, pretty young ones or fellas in transition year working the tills and packing the bags. In Romania, it's like owl lads.
Owlful is, Tommy, because over here, work is work. And a dollar is a dollar. And it's not all rosy in the garden over here with the standard of income. As your man told me, he said, rural Romania is really in poverty. And I'm looking forward in one way to see this. And I'm looking forward then. Humility is something I've learned so much over 20 years of travelling. I want to be humble in my life and I want to feel humility when I meet people. And I said it, I've met the happiest people and I get that real tinge of humanness and kindness of people who don't have much because they show me little things and I see little signs. And I saw it in that supermarket again today and it refreshes me about my appetite for the next 8 days in a country like Romania, because not many Irish people have come to Romania. No. If you mention Romania to 100 people on the street of Galway or Kilkenny or Knockmore or Dublin, they will say, what do you know about Romania? Orphans, Romanian babies and a penalty shootout. Apart from that, they'll probably say Romanian gypsies, but not everyone in Romania is a gypsy.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Can I give a big shout out to the people? People are sending stuff to the house. It's all unasked for. And it's very hard to know what to do other than to say thank you very much. People are sending. So the people at Barry's Tea sent us a whole load of fucking tea, which is beautiful and
hats and aprons and stuff. And thank you very much, the good people at Barry's Tea. And the people from the Lochree Distillery sent us a bottle of whiskey. And I said, okay, thank you very much for sending that. So it's just, you know, people are...
Tommy will have it all drank by the time we get there, Hector.
Well, get there soon then, is what I'd say.
I had an amazing experience on our final day of shooting in Serbia, where we had to drive for about an hour out to the countryside. And Serbia, once you leave Belgrade, is grey and it's flat land and there's massive steel plants and there's smoke from chimneys in the distance, and it's very industrial. Then it gets very agricultural. And Evan said to me, we're going out to meet a man who's making the world's most expensive cheese. I said, what? He said, yes, and they're making it from the milk of donkeys.
I said, go away, I can smell it from here.
I said, what?
Fucking donkey milk.
Donkey goo. So we're driving out, and we're all asleep in the back of the van, and we're all bumping around, and then we wake up in the middle, we're about an hour out of Serbia, and we're going down a little road, and then it's like, I can smell
the little
it.
Man, is there milk in a donkey?
Little tiny fingers.
So we arrived at this place, and we went in the gate, and a lad with a pipe came out with no leash, and he looked a mix between Jimi Hendrix and Christy Moore mixed in with Richard Harris, and he's mad heading him, long hair, and this was the guy who owned the farm, and he's smoking a pipe and not a word of English. And within 5 minutes we were in his little area drinking coffee and drinking rakia, which is having like a shot of whiskey or a shot of poutine. And then he takes out a little thing out of his hand and he starts putting his hand out in front of us and he's spinning a little thing like a water diviner. And he's spouting away going to Evan. And our translator's translating that you're a bit conservative, but you're liberal, but you're Irish, but you don't really give a fuck. And then he puts his hand on Roscoe and this little metal thing is swinging in his hand and we're drinking this whiskey thing. And it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. This was the genius behind it. And you can Google this. In Serbia, there is a very high prevalence of a bronchitis cough, and the old people called it donkey cough, and it's been there for centuries.
Donkey cough?
Yeah, donkey cough. Hee-haw! Like a donkey cough. So donkey cough, and the locals had it for centuries. So he started...
locals had it for centuries,
the cough or the donkeys?
The donkeys and the donkey cough. So what he's done is he's milking 200.
How old are you? I'm 304. What do you put it down to? This fucking donkey cough. I've had it for centuries.
So he's now making the world. He's now milking donkeys. Donkeys. There's one stallion. There's one man. One boy donkey in with 200 females.
Jinnets.
So she can only give milk for 3 months after it. But they say
they're called jackasses, are they?
Jackasses. But they say the milk from a donkey is almost as good as the milk from a newborn from a mother's breast
and human and mother.
A newborn baby getting the mother's
Beestons
milk.
Like.
The Beestons. The donkey's milk is so similar of all the animals in the animal kingdom to human milk that it is so rich in all its stuff and vitamins and casein and everything and very low in lactose that he's decided to make the world's most expensive cheese mixed with some goat milk. And it now retails, and you can Google this every single person if you want to have a bit of crack, Donkey Cheese Serbia. He's got Arabs and Arabians and Dubai people and all the rich people flying in paying €1,000 for a kilo of donkey cheese. It's only available for 4 months of the year and it's sold off the shelves. He's making donkey cheese milk.
Did you taste it?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Is it actually just, are they actually just using the Beestons? Like, so when you say it's only available 4 months of the year, is it only available?
Because a donkey can only give milk for 4 months, so she dries up and then she's pregnant, then it's a 12-month, 13-month pregnancy. So then the 4 months after the donkey gives birth, it's the Beestons. So then they milk a donkey in front of me and in a little yellow jug, like going back in time, and they handed the jug up to me while I slugged it back.
What?
And it...
You drank the donkey milk, first of all?
Straight out of the tit. The Beestons.
Okay.
Was it not all froth on it and fucking hot and everything?
This is probably going to remind you. This is going to remind you of your childhood, now, Loretta, isn't it?
I can taste it already. It's yeah, but you know what it was? Septic.
It was lukewarm, and it was sugary, and it was absolutely magnificent. So then we spoke about the donkey as being an underrated animal, an animal that has been here since the start of time, an animal that is so ingrained in every workplace and parish in every part of the world, an animal that has carried carried people on their backs.
Carried Jesus into Jerusalem.
Carried Jesus, an animal. And did you know that on every the back of every donkey, but you can't see it unless they're a grey donkey, is the cross. There's a cross on the back of every donkey right at the neck. And it's only visible on grey-coloured donkeys, because on brown and black-coloured donkeys, you don't see it. But there's a cross on every single donkey in the world. Now, you riddle me that. Now, that is something that we can't put our finger on. The most underrated, most beautiful animal. I fell in love with donkeys yesterday. I was standing amidst 50 or 60 donkeys. And he said, they're beautiful. The only way, if they sense fear from you, Hector, they'll go away, or they'll get agitated.
They'll bite you.
And then, do you know what he said to me? He says, give that donkey a hug. Well, I went over to this girl and I started rubbing her hair and her ears. She was absolutely beautiful. And then I put my arms around
this girl.
Neck. A donkey.
A donkey girl.
I put my arms around her neck. And I swear to God, I could have fallen into a deep slumber with the donkey hug and the karma coming from this donkey, and wrapping my arms around a large animal, and the donkeys didn't move an inch, and she just stayed there and gave me her love, and I could feel her heart beating. And the man turned around to me in Serbian, in his English, his son was there as well. He goes, everybody needs to understand that this is the kingdom we live in. These are great animals. These are more than just the donkey that you pass in the road. These are donkeys, and it was amazing.
Would it be a good pet, do you think, a donkey?
Oh, Tommy, I swear to God, Tommy, I'd buy a donkey with you in the morning, and I'm telling you, everyone could hug a donkey. I swear, if we had a donkey down the back near the hen house.
What is wrong with you? Will you come home? Everyone could hug a donkey. What are you talking about?
We're taking this for granted. We have dogs.
You've lost your mind.
Goldfish.
Come home, quick.
Loretta, I swear to God.
Did you grow up with donkeys, Loretta?
We had one, yeah.
And?
But I mean, they didn't, like, they're grand, like, they're a bit stupid, and they're sort of...
They're not stupid. That's why we think they're stupid. But yesterday my eyes were open to them. They're one of the most underrated animals in the animal kingdom. I'm in love with donkeys now. I will never look at a donkey in another way. Donkeys to me are one
of the... In another way? In what other way?
No, but like you always thought, driving by, there's a donkey. There's a silly donkey out there, out in the yard, and the donkey's for carrying stuff. The donkey knows more about humans. I swear, I'm blown away
and
by
suppose
donkeys.
The West of Ireland, where we are, at yes. Connemara, we have a great tradition of donkeys and, you
exactly.
Mossel Bjog Dove.
And what about the mules then? Aren't they a mix between the horse and the donkey?
Yeah. Can you explain why every single donkey has the marking of a cross on the back of their neck? Can you explain that to me in the world we live in now? Yeah, but he said, look at the grey donkey.
I can't explain to you why giraffes have long necks or fucking zebras have stripes. I can't explain that to you either.
Or sheep have wool.
Because, Tommy, on the road into Bethlehem and the dusty road out of Nazareth and on the trails to the parish of Jerusalem, you know how important the donkey was. Tommy,
yes.
Don't you know? Tell me about the donkey in your life, Tommy.
Why did Jesus, as the Son of God, the King of the Jews, why did he enter... It's Jerusalem. Why did he enter Jerusalem on... People were expecting him a stallion made of flames with wings, because here was God coming down and him has the power of the multiverse in his hand. He could do whatever he wanted. And he didn't go riding in on a lion. He didn't go riding in on a leopard or any of the dangerous animals to show them he could control them. He didn't go riding on a chicken or skateboarding.
He didn't come in on a big chariot, Tommy, with a fanfare.
No, just a donkey. Donkey.
A donkey. Loretta, when you put your arm around a donkey and
I've glazed over here. What?
Tommy, you're a dog lover. Tommy, your dogs, you have big dogs.
I like big dogs.
Yes. You know what a hug is like when that dog is there. Geez, you can feel that there's another
soul.
The soul. I swear, I'll send you photos later on. Well, I can't send you photos.
You're lucky he didn't bite you.
No, but she won't bite me because we're understanding that donkeys are this beautiful, placid, really important animal that's producing €1,000 per kilo for a kilo of cheese. Will you go away from me?
They're like the monkeys that eat the coffee beans and shit them out.
The last thing I need is Kerry Foods or Glanbia finding out about this. And listen,
so tell me this, Hector. Tell me this. So you tasted the bastions, and did you then go for the actual cheese, or did you just have the milk?
You, Tommy, they present the cheese in this oak box.
Is it soft?
It's 50-50, but they present it in an oak box, and the fingerprints of your man is on the back of it. It's like a really high end whiskey presentation box. It's selling for €1,000 a kilo.
Did your man give you a box to take home?
No.
Too expensive.
Too expensive.
Is it smelly cheese?
No, it was very mild. The longer it matures, it gets stronger. But it was an absolute pleasure and a treat to see 250 donkeys in this farm in the middle of Serbia. Oh. And their purpose on life is absolutely to be happy. And all he wanted was happy donkeys given happy milk. And always the mother and the baby stay together and then they're not nervous. But I stood in amongst them and I listened to this Serbian son, the son of your man. It was just an amazing chat about an animal that it was so underrated in my mind. My lack of knowledge about donkeys, because I'm a horse man. I adore horses. I live and sleep and breathe them. Mares and foals and flat and national hunt. But to feel the love and the knowledge that he was telling me about that animal that I think we underrate. I will never underestimate the power of a donkey again.
Thanks everybody for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this week's offering. God bless and good luck.
Intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.